bringing you another episode of Brick House. And Matt, we finally made the playoffs, buddy.
We did it.
Don't get too excited. It's just the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference.
Hey, but it's the playoffs.
We made it. Number 18 in our NBA preview for the 2015-16 season is in the mecca of basketball. Not New York, but Hoosier Town, Indiana. Indiana Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
Got them slotted in the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. We still have a couple of Western Conference teams to preview that are certainly going to be better than this team.
Right.
But we have lopsided conferences and error in the Pacers' favor this year.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my prediction. The Pacers, they've got an interesting story. If you like the Brady Bunch, I kind of think of the Pacers as Jan Brady. They're perpetually second best for many years behind Miami, you know.
Marsha
is just LeBron. But I think it has worked out, and now the Pacers, for this season, I'm going to say they've just they've settled. Jan married a guy. He's middle class. They moved to the Valley, and they're starting their life now. That's the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
Married to Jan Brady.
Previously on the Indiana Pacers.
Well, the reason I say that they're like Jan Brady is they were perpetually second best. They were pretty much the only rival to the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference during LeBron's 4 years there.
Lost to him three times.
I mean, yeah, with Derrick Rose injuries, it was pretty much these two teams at the beginning of the season. 2 years ago, the Pacers' goal was to make the number one seed in the East so they would have home court advantage when they ran into Miami in the playoffs. They did, and they lost in six. But there was a lot of fun times had in between there. A lot of people thought that the Pacers would be able to do it. But now they actually, just last season, lost Paul George for the whole season to a freak leg injury.
Terrible injury.
Really hard to watch in a USA basketball exhibition game, of all things.
Yes, very bad.
And over the summer, there's a rumor that part of the turmoil in the Pacers' season was due to some infidelity.
It's nasty stuff.
Yeah, the rumor was that Paul George, you know, the star of the Pacers, had sex with Roy Hibbert's girlfriend. And, you know, not only did this create an obvious rift between the players, but was the catalyst for Roy losing all self-confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is 7'3" and went multiple games in a row without getting a single rebound or a point. So
Which is almost impossible.
Yeah. So over the summer, Larry Bird let it be known pretty much they don't want Roy Hibbert back. He had a player option on his contract, I think for $15, $16 million. Larry Bird essentially said, don't take the option. If you do, we're going to trade you.
Yeah.
And Hibbert said, you know,
I'm taking the option.
No one else is going to give me $15 million.
Yeah.
Not after the way I played post-coitus. So, yeah, Roy Hibbert signed back with them, and they traded him to the Lakers for a second-round draft pick.
BasketballReference.com right now has July 9th, 2015, traded by Indiana Pacers to the Los Angeles Lakers for blank period. It doesn't even have... Here's a fun fact, okay? Roy Hibbert's been traded twice in the NBA because he got drafted by the Raptors.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Both times he's been traded have been on July 9th.
Huh.
So that's an interesting fact.
Yeah, he was the 17th pick, and man, it was really... He's pretty much the reason I know the term verticality. You remember that? You jump straight up, and you can have players bounce off of you, and it won't be a defensive foul. Another player that they lost, he actually cited the way that the Pacers treated Roy Hibbert. They said it was cold how they treated him. And David West, pretty much their veteran leader of the team, left $10 million on the table to go and play for
that
the Spurs.
That was crazy. He had $12 million option.
Right.
And he left to go play for a couple million on the Spurs.
Yeah, like $1.5 million,
yeah.
I believe. The year before that, they lost Lance Stephenson. He was their sixth man spark plug who really thought he could be a star in Charlotte. That lasted all of one season.
Traded Granger away the previous year for Evan Turner.
Right.
So really, that whole team, that team was just, they just gutted it.
You know, I think the Evan Turner trade was one of the things that really messed up their chemistry a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were really humming along until they got the villain. Paul George missed the entire season. He came back at the end of the year, and they tried to make a push for that last playoff spot, but just couldn't get there.
Right.
One cool thing is that Paul George took Bill Simmons' suggestion and actually changed his number from 24 to 13, so he could have a very cool nickname as PG-13. But other than that, that's about as much excitement as we're going to get from the Pacers this year. Paul George is a great player. I mean, I think when he got injured, you could definitely say he was a top 10 player in the league.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be interesting to see how he comes back after one of the nastiest leg injuries we've seen recently. I want to get into the owner, but I want to make it brief. This guy is rather boring, Matt. His name's Herb Simon. Yeah. He's from the Bronx. He owns a real estate property, Simon Property Group, that spans 242 million square feet of America, wow, Europe, and Asia. And the guy's 80 years old. He's a super billionaire.
He's owned for 32 years, it says here.
Wow. Yeah.
Since 1983.
Wow.
And I couldn't have told you his name.
Right.
So
Herb Simon, yeah.
In the entire time I've been watching basketball, I didn't know who Herbert Simon was.
I mean, one of the most interesting things on his resume is his third wife. It was Miss Universe 1988.
Wow.
And she
okay.
was Miss Thailand. They've actually had a couple of kids together, adopted a couple of kids from Thailand. He regularly donates to charities for Thai children. So that's it. So since this owner segment was so boring, I thought it might be an opportunity to tell our listeners the story of the greatest sports contract ever written and ever signed. It's a timely matter because the NBA, the salary cap is going way up because they just negotiated a new television deal that's three times that of the previous one.
Right.
The NBA is about to make a ton of money. And the story of the Silna brothers is from back in the day when the ABA and NBA merged. The Silna brothers, David and Ozzie, I believe, Daniel and Ozzie, they own the St. Louis Spirits. So when the NBA and ABA merged, the NBA absorbed four teams that are now still to this day NBA teams. The New York Knicks, the New Jersey Nets, now Brooklyn, the Indiana Pacers, mm-hmm. and the San Antonio Spurs. So that's left.
Sorry, the Denver Nuggets, not the Knicks.
Oh, is that right?
Nets, Nuggets, Pacers, and Spurs.
Oh, thank you, Matt.
Yes.
Fact checker. This left three ABA teams out in the cold. One of them, the Virginia Squires, they folded. That left the Kentucky Colonels and the Spirits. The owner of the Colonels took $3 million to fold happily, and then went on to be the majority owner of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay.
Yeah, and governor of Kentucky. The Silnas brothers, they turned down that offer and wrote their own contract. And the ABA, they really wanted to just get this deal over with and sort of, maybe they didn't read the contract. Maybe it was like the iTunes agreement, you know. Do you agree to the terms and conditions of the Yes.
Yeah,
I just want to hear, beat it.
We just want to get this over with.
So they wrote their own contract, and the way they wrote it was they would get paid $2.2 million for any Spirits players that are actually drafted by NBA teams. And on top of that, they would get 1/7 share of each of the former ABA team's, quote, visual media rights, which amounts to about 57% of one share. Like if they owned 57% of one of these NBA teams, not for one season, but in perpetuity.
Forever.
So until 2014, when the NBA finally negotiated an end to this contract, since the 70s, they've made around $800 million.
That's insane.
That's why they call it the greatest sports contract ever written. Their fellow team, Kentucky Fried Chicken Man, got $3 million.
Yeah.
They got $2.2 million for not owning a team or doing anything.
Amazing.
For the past 30, 40 years. A lot more interesting than Herb Simon, that's for sure.
So I guess what they reached a a lump sum of $5
million. $5
million. Last year. $500 million.
$500 million?
Yeah. So in 2014, the Silnes reached agreement with the NBA to end the perpetual payments and take a lump sum of $500 million instead.
And now, the starting lineup for your Indiana Pacers!
So amazing, I lost our train of thought. Who actually plays for the Indiana Pacers? They're certainly lining the Silnes pockets. Who are they?
Well, their big off-season acquisitions were Monte Ellis.
That's a big one.
And Jordan Hill, I guess, if you want to call that a big off-season acquisition.
Big contract, maybe.
Yeah, but they also drafted Miles Turner out of Texas, the freshman.
Who I guess Larry Bird is hoping to replace Roy Hibbert.
Yeah, so George Hill and Paul George, they're the two mainstays.
The Georges.
So Paul George is obviously a point guard, Monte Ellis at shooting guard. I'm always fascinated to see how any team with Monte Ellis will function.
Right.
He seems like one of those guys that can be a great asset or just kind of decide that it's his turn.
Well, apparently that's how he left Dallas. He was really resentful of the Chandler Parsons contract.
Yeah.
And sort of spent the season sulking consequently.
Which is funny because then he ended up signing a deal this year with the Pacers that still wasn't as much as the Chandler Parsons contract.
Well.
So it shows that being jealous and sulking about a contract doesn't automatically mean you'll get that contract.
Right.
So I guess some combination of Miles Turner and Jordan Hill and Ian Mahinmi will hold down the 4 and 5 spots for this team.
Yeah. I put Turner as the starter only because I've only known Mahinmi to be a career backup. Can't imagine him in a starting role.
I would say if someone's a decent career backup, you probably want to keep them as a backup. You know what I mean? You don't want to rock the boat. With now Solomon Hill, Chase Budinger, and Glenn Robinson III at small forward, who knows what you can get out of that? Solomon Hill's not a bad player.
I like the wing players a lot. It's the big men that I'm afraid are not going to be able to protect the rim or get any rebounds.
Right. This doesn't, even though George Hill and Paul George are still around, this still doesn't have the feel of a team that can get back to where they were a few years ago.
I like their coach a lot, and I put him in the 8th spot in the West because, those are the East, right? Because those wing players, I feel like, are enough to get you 40 wins and into the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Absolutely. Especially if you get something out of Miles Turner, too.
Well, what do you think? Where do you think they finish this year?
Record prediction.
Last year, with Paul George coming back from injury, they were 38-44.
I think they're good enough to get 44 wins, I guess.
44? Okay.
That might be high, because I said the Celtics would get 42 and they would miss the playoffs, so I guess I got to give 44.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll say 44 just because of the wing players and what I think can be an overall. They're not a bad team. They're a fine team.
Cool. Yeah, I got them exactly at 500. The 8th seed in the East has actually had a team with a losing record for quite a few years now. So putting them right at 500 might be more optimistic than reality.
Wow, I really overshot with the 44. I think I'm going. I'm sticking with it though.
Cool. Well, we will find out. We'll be following this team. And we'll be following Roy Hibbert on the Lakers. He's got plenty of women in Los Angeles to choose from. You know who I want to talk about?
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
Like we always want to talk about LeBron James.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I got to go back a couple of years to the Eastern Conference playoffs to relive one of the funniest moments in recent NBA history for me, which was Game 4 of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Lance Stephenson is tasked with guarding LeBron James. And I believe, he's already been talking trash about LeBron to the media at this point in the series, but they're both waiting outside the 3-point line while one of the other players is shooting free throws, and Lance Stephenson blows into LeBron's ear.
Yeah.
I looked up the replay of this to watch it prepare for the show today, and LeBron really takes it in stride. But you can see him just, feel the blowing in the ear, and sort just, of staring for a good 3 seconds before he just shakes his head and laughs. Yeah. Cannot believe
right
what another man just did to him.
Yeah, it's
on
so
national
weird.
TV.
It's so weird. It's great. I actually think it's kind of great.
As a Clippers fan, I am so excited to see Lance Stephenson this year. I feel like Doc Rivers and Chris Paul might have him in a headlock on the sidelines at any point. You know, so excited.
Yeah, I just watched the meme of that, and LeBron feels it, gives a smile, and is just like, this kid.
The eighth grader. But the audience wants to know more about...
And now it's time for A Personal Anecdote with Matt Baker.
This story has nothing to do with Roy Hibbert, but it made me think. I wanted to know if you had, like, your most embarrassing story from middle school. I mean, you're going to have to really open up another layer of the onion in the Baker legend.
Well, I remember one time we were playing tag out on the old field there.
You're playing
recess,
tag with your
recess.
Classmates?
Tag with our classmates. And I was running away, as you do, in tag.
Yep, I've played.
Yeah, I'm glad. And we were running, and I remember looking back, because I was always a fast kid. I could always run. I remember looking back, being so excited that I was getting away and that no one was going to catch me. So I remember looking back and smiling and probably saying something like, ha-ha, you can't catch me. Turned around to keep running. There was a metal pole right in front of me. Ran face first into the metal pole, temporarily blacked out, and woke up on the ground, and had a huge knot on my head.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, at least you got to black out for your most embarrassing moment.
Yeah, I guess. It was temporary, very temporary. But, yeah, I remember it.
How did you feel? How did you react after that?
Probably didn't feel all that well. Probably was more of a what just happened.
Were people standing over you?
Yeah, I remember a few kids came over and like, what happened? I was like, oh, I think I ran into that pole.
It probably goes without saying that you were tagged at this point.
Yeah, I was it. Yeah, that was the most embarrassing thing, is that I was it. Yeah.
Well, that's a great story. Thanks, Matt.
On the next episode of Brick House.
This team is owned by the actor who is playing the President of the United States in the next Sharknado movie.
What?
He also may own a shark-themed TV show.
No. That's a lot of sharks.
It's a lot of sharks, and you're going to have to tune in to the number 17 team to find out who it is on the next episode of Brick House.